Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church? With the one and only Sister AJ. Well, we are set to get started. And we have, of course, as always, as we do every week, we have a wonderful, outstanding, eye-opening, thought-provoking show for you. So without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ. Sister AJ, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. My wife wants to thank you for, because she noticed that you changed talking about Dallas Jenkins. And she says, I want to thank Sister AJ for preventing your heart attacks. Because every time you do the introduction, you get all riled up. So, but,
you're welcome, my sister.
Yeah. But I'm going to have a heart attack no matter what. Because after this show, I'm going to go downstairs and somebody left dishes in the sink and somebody did something and Benji chewed on something he wasn't supposed to chew on. So that's not going to prevent me from having one, because I nitpick a lot. And when you nitpick, that's what happens. So, Sister AJ, we got a great show in store for the Saints. What are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about, I guess I could call it thieves in the temple, you know, reminiscent of when the Lord Jesus cleared the temple and he talked about how they had made it into a den of thieves.
Right.
And the first thief up that I wanted to talk about is the one and only Creflo Dollar, because in the past couple of weeks he's caused quite a stir in the word faith prosperity world, especially among his contemporaries, because of a sermon he preached the 26th of June, I think,
mm-hmm.
where he's allegedly repenting of teaching error on tithing all these years.
Oh.
So I wanted to take a look at this sermon with you so to see what you think about it, because, of course, it, you know, did he really repent? And, you know, some of the discernment guys are wondering, okay, is this real? And there are a few of them that are like, oh, I don't know, not so fast. So I wanted to see what you thought about this.
Yeah, it's interesting because Creflo is doing the same thing we see Satan doing in Revelation 12. Let me pull up the passage. Let me pull up the passage. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. See, Creflo's Creflo.
Right?
I mean,
yeah.
So
in my mind, this could be just some, you know, like predatory animals watch the migratory patterns of the herd so that they can switch up if they need to in order to continue to eat.
Right. See, what has happened, this is what's happened. Creflo knows, and this is a fact. Creflo knows that because of the internet, everyone has, you have to be living under a rock if you haven't discovered that tithing is not for today. Now, it took a while.
Right.
It took a while for the word to get out, to get out there. It took
yes.
a while. But over time, so many people have done a series on tithing not being for today, that most people in the church, you know that they're getting robbed the way tithing is being taught in the church. Okay?
Right.
So we know this to be true because first of all, COVID opened a lot of people's eyes.
Man.
Well, you say, brother, how did that happen? Well, this is how it happened. People weren't able to tithe, and they realized that they had all the money they needed to survive when they kept the tithe.
Right, and the four
right?
horsemen
I mean,
of the apocalypse didn't show up to their house to kill them like the preachers would be saying, God's going to curse you, going to do this and that. Yeah.
Right, so COVID, you know, showed a lot of people, wow, I made it without the church or the God of my pastor. That God is going to curse
me
with a curse, right? So that opened their eyes. The second thing that these preachers like Creflo have realized is that once the eyes were opened of the people via COVID, tithing is just way down. And it has nothing to do with inflation.
Absolutely,
Right? It has nothing to do with inflation. It's just, you know, we gave you enough money, you're on your own. So in Revelation chapter 12, right, it says in verse 15 and verse 13, I'm sorry, and when the dragon saw that he was cast out onto the earth, he persecuted the woman. So here, this red dragon is mad, and he comes after the woman with knives out, right? He's persecuting. He's there to kill her. Okay. Now, when the woman survives the dragon's persecution, because God gives her the wings of an eagle that she may fly away and escape the dragon, then the dragon goes into serpent mode, right? So dragon, he's mad. Serpent, he's your friend. Because when the serpent came to Eve in the garden, he was nice. Of course, he wanted to destroy Eve and Adam, but he didn't come out. He didn't come after them with knives. He didn't poison her.
He wasn't the dragon at that point. He wasn't anything scary.
Right. That's the dragon. Now, when the dragon can't kill the church via martyrdom, because martyrdom always increased the church. When you read church history, the more Christians you kill, the faster the church grows. That's a paradox in and of itself, right? So now he tries to destroy the church by being the church's friend. Now, he's not really her friend because he wants the woman to be drowned in the flood, but he approaches the woman as Satan approached Eve. Listen, let me give you some inside information. God's trying to keep you down. God's trying to keep you stupid. I know that if you eat of that tree, you'll be like one of us, knowing good and evil. So he comes as a friendly advisor. So that's Creflo. Creflo was the dragon. You better tithe or you're going to hell. You better tithe or you're going to be cursed with a curse. Now he realizes that now people's eyes are open.
People don't believe it, you know.
Right, right. So he still needs the money to come in. So what does he do? He opts for the serpent. I'm your friend now. Look, I repent. Oh, my God, I repent. but you see, repentance without refund is not repentance.
Right. Exactly.
Right? Because,
and I haven't heard where he's offered that.
Correct. Now, Zacchaeus, when Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house and he had a Jesus moment, Zacchaeus says, listen, I'm going to pay back everybody I robbed and with interest.
Fourfold.
Right? Yeah. So is Creflo doing that? No. So this guy is slick.
Yeah.
He realized post-COVID, people ain't buying that no more. Just like post-Reformation,
right.
People not buying purgatory anymore. Post-Reformation, no, we don't believe in that junk.
Right.
So the Catholic Church did what? It changed its ways.
It changed up.
But it's still fleecing. Right? They're still Satan's masterpiece. So that's Creflo. And you know who did this first? Benny Hinn did this first. Benny Hinn tried repenting a few maybe a year ago. Didn't Benny repent?
He allegedly, but I think that he's still at it. So the repentance didn't last that long.
No, but what you see, what happens is they know the people are onto them. So in order to get the suckers to stay, it's like the wife who's getting punched by the husband. The husband sits at the edge of the bed. Oh, he starts to cry. She sees tears, right? Because she's about to walk out on him. So he sits there and he says, I promise I'm going to change him. He ain't changing. Let him come home one day and those pork chops not be done. See what's going to happen to your face. He ain't changing. But you see, he has to go to crying. He has to go to, why? To keep you. That's what these dudes do.
Right.
Did Paul ever have to repent? Did Peter ever? No, they didn't have to repent when it came to money issues. Why? Because they weren't conning anybody. And listen,
yes.
People have had an awakening. They know. They know.
Yes.
They know the deal.
People have been coming at this for years, writing books and, you know, the Sunday morning stick-ups that go on every week in these churches.
Right.
And people have been getting hit to what's going on. And then, like you said, COVID really turned the tables because people just didn't have the money. And so then they realized, well, you know, I haven't been able to tithe or anything, and I'm still here, and I'm still
and doing
able to do. Yeah.
And doing
exactly.
better.
Exactly.
I'm
but,
doing better. Cause...
But with Creflow, he has actually been tweaking this for several years as far as moving more to a grace, New Testament type of basis for giving. So he's been kind of inching away from so much Malachi 3 heavy-handed for a while. But because he saw back then that people were getting wise.
Listen, Sister AJ, the guy is a multi-gazillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
The dude is loaded. Creflo's loaded. I mean, could we agree that the guy is loaded? Okay.
Yes, he is.
So why? So, okay. So if you are, it's like Solomon. At some point, Solomon said, you know what? I got 1,000 wives. I don't need to have 2,000. I think 1,000's okay. Okay? So that's
yeah.
Creflo. Now, what Creflo's
yeah.
doing, Creflo is setting it up for his kids. Because Creflo and Taffy have so much money that they could never spend it in their lifetime. So what's Creflo
right.
doing? He's hooking it up for his children that are going to take over. He's easing that generation. Now, it's still a plantation. It's still a plantation. We just don't lynch people anymore. We don't lynch them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a plantation. See,
right.
That's the difference. Over time, things change, but it's adaptation. Only those who adapt survive. See, look
right.
at all the little businesses that went under during COVID because they didn't what? They didn't adapt. The churches today that are shutting down are the churches that have not adapted to the fact that most people don't want to go to a building. They don't. They want church online. They want church on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a whole lot of guys, they're never going back to the building. Because they figure,
right.
Now, I'm not talking about Creflo or I'm not talking about Joe Osteen or someone. I'm talking about the middle of the road guys, right? I'm talking about
mm-hmm.
the guys that have 200, 300. They know that the day of that church, those days are done. Why? Because you got the overhead. They're going to do their little thing on Sunday. They're just going to do, right now you go to most churches, a one-hour service. That's what they give you, 1 hour. Half-hour praise and worship, a half-hour praise and worship and a half-hour cycle babble. That's it. That's what you get. And out the door. That's what you get.
Right.
They're not spending hours and hours in a building with fans all air conditioning on. No, that's too expensive. That's too expensive. So they and again, remember, these guys don't want to work. They don't want to be bothered with people. They don't want to hear their problems. What they're going to tell you is put your hand on the radio and let it, or your computer, and let it be the point of contact, and let me pray for you. That's what they want. That's it. The point of contact is put your hand on your laptop. They don't want to hear
right.
your soft story. They don't want to hear how you're hurting. They don't want to hear any of that. None of that.
Right.
So squeeze the money a different way through books and branding. You know, now a guy like
mm-hmm.
T.D. Jakes, who's up to his neck in building, a guy like Jensen Franklin, who's got seven campus churches, that guy can't shut down. He's got mortgages.
Yeah.
Right? So they operate, those guys operate on another level. But the run-of-the-mill guy, he's got to shut down or he's going on the out of business. And I say that because for them, the church is a business. It's a family business. So Creflo knows, because he can watch across the street and see what's happening to Eddie Long's church. Right?
Yeah.
That thing is struggling. I mean, that thing... pretty
even
soon,
with Jamal Bryant there.
Sure. Absolutely. Now, if it was a church for the people, people would show up. But it's not for the people. It's for Creflo and Taffy. So all he's doing is he's adjusting so that when he leaves the church to his kids, then it's a different story. But it's still, there's still serpents. This, you know, that's what they are.
Absolutely.
They're dragons when they want to take you down and serpents when they want to befriend you. But in both instances, they don't mean you well.
It's still wicked.
It's still wicked. See? It's still wicked. So that's all Creflo's doing. Creflo is adjusting, adapting to the times. And he sees all his friends. For example, you look at a guy like Kenneth Copeland. You watch the Kenneth Copeland show. Kenneth Copeland doesn't beg you for money. He's got ways in which he built his empire. Right? I mean, you look at that magazine that he sends out all around the world. I mean, that magazine goes all around the world. Right? The Believer's Voice of Victory. That thing is global.
Yeah.
That thing's expensive. But you see, he already had it set up where it was making big time money. Therefore, he was one of the rare ones that he was never on TV. He's not Kenneth Copeland isn't like Rob Parsley, who every other second is just asking you for a tithe.
Right?
Kenneth Copeland had a different model.
Is more a protege of Kenneth Copeland. That's kind of one of his mentors in this thing is Kenneth Copeland.
Right. But Creflo didn't have some of the skills that Kenneth. Now, Creflo has the same message. He has the same heresy, but he didn't have the same business model. Take, for example, Joyce Myers. Joyce Myers has a completely different business model than Kenneth Copeland or Creflo Dollar.
Right.
She shows up. There's three tractor trailers following her full of her junk to the next arena.
Yeah.
And then they bring out all their junk and she sells stuff like crazy.
Well, Joyce doesn't really have a church pastor, a church, though, either. She's always been an itinerant minister.
Right. So, but she's in that wolf class.
Yeah.
Right? And Benny Hinn, how was Benny Hinn making it all these years? Because Benny Hinn, too, had a different business model. Benny Hinn was making his money by living off of TBN. TBN, you know, when Paul Crouch Sr. needed money, he would go to Benny. And Benny was his main prostitute on TV. So you look at all these guys, they all have different business models. The one thing they have in common is they have a headquarters where they have a group of suckers waiting for them there every week who will spit at COVID-19 and COVID-19 would declare, you know, but... They all have that little, you know, that little base of operation, but they all have different business models as to how they're going to fleece the people. But the main goal is fleecing them. Like Joel Osteen, look what Joel Osteen has. He's Joel Osteen brags, I don't take money from the church. But
well,
you know
he
does.
Have to anymore. He
right.
just gets it in other ways. So he doesn't
right.
have
yeah.
to have a salary per se.
Correct. But who takes care of his car? The church. Who takes care of his don't tell me they don't. Please don't tell me they don't. But they do. The fact that he doesn't cash a check, see, I used to hear guys say that all the
well,
time, but then when you look at
the... They're giving them holy handshakes all the time, though, I'm sure.
There you go. There you go. So, no, listen, you watch these guys, they're all fleecing, but they all have their unique way of fleecing. They all have their unique way. Paula White has the ship jumping technique, or the ship jumping model. She's the captain of a ship. When the ship starts sinking like a rat, she looks for the next ship to jump on. When her husband, Bishop Randy White, was at the height of his ministry, Paula was right there with him. When he began to sink, she jumped ship and landed the husband she's got now, the rocker, Jonathan, mm-hmm. whatever his name is. When Church Without Walls was sinking, she jumped off that ship and she got on Zachary Timms' boat, right? That's her model.
Yeah.
And then when she got tired of Zachary Timms' church, and whose ship did she jump on? The Trump ship.
Yeah.
Right? And then when she joined Trump, boy, did those invitations come a-rolling. She had invitations on everything. People who had never invited her before were inviting her. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, see, different models. They're still wicked. They just have different ways of doing it. Right? I mean, that's just, you know. Mike Murdoch, what's his model? Mike Murdoch goes from show to show as a fundraiser, and he hustles for the show and gets his cut.
Yep.
You watch Mike Murdoch. He's on reruns with Morris Cirillo's son, David Cirillo. They have a show called Camp Meeting. David Cirillo owns it. And there you find Mike Murdoch hustling at 3 in the morning. Hustling. Now, you know Mike Murdoch's almost dead, but in those reruns, he's like 30 years old.
Yeah.
And they use him because the dude can fleece people.
Because it works.
Mm-hmm. The people don't know. They don't know that Mike Murdoch, you know, is old and decrepit. So they have all kinds of models. All different ways, you know. None of them are now. They're all in the wolf pack. They just have different techniques.
Yeah.
Different techniques. So Creflo, realizing the monster property that he has, and realizing that people after COVID are not coming back, because by the way, what do you get out of Creflo? You get out of Creflo the same baloney. What is he going to tell you that he hasn't told you already? How many years has he been pastor of that church? How many years?
At least 30 plus.
There you go. What can Creflo tell you? Creflo's a has-been.
Nothing.
Nothing. What could he preach on today? Nothing. So he's got to stir the pot and become relevant again, right? And say, I'm going to repent of this. But he ain't repenting. He ain't repentant.
So
now
I
think
take
about
it.
It.
You don't believe that Creflo. Believe Creflo.
Right. You
Which
see,
I don't
think
either,
about
by
it.
The way.
Why doesn't, listen, how much money did that joker get from Evander Holyfield in tithes?
One report that I saw was like $3 million in one shot. So imagine over the years how much you got from him.
There you go. Now, is he repenting and
where was Creflo when Evander fell into money problems? Nowhere
right.
to be seen.
Nowhere. And what happened? I thought he was supposed to be blessed. That God will pour out a blessing that he would not be able to contain. In the meantime, he's bankrupt or near bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
You see? See how it's a scam?
Yeah.
I tell people on, you know, I do a Monday and Thursday line, and I tell people, you know, put $50 aside. Before I was telling them take $30 a week, set it aside. With one $30, you buy breakfast stuff, non-perishable breakfast stuff. With the next $30 in the second, buy non-perishable lunch stuff. With the next $30, buy yourself non-perishable dinner stuff. With the fourth $30, because you got 4 weeks of the month, buy your powdered drinks. And then if you have a fifth
mm-hmm.
Sunday, you take that third $30 and you set that aside for cleaning products, right? And I would tell people, don't go to the church expecting to find meat. There ain't no meat. You won't even find bones. Forget about finding meat in my house. There's no meat, there's no bones, there's nothing. Nothing. So you better put that money aside before you give your church anything. Make sure you take care of you and your house. And there
mm-hmm.
are people on that line that don't like me because I say that. But I don't care if they don't like me. I have to – listen, I got to warn my brothers and sisters that these pastors are thieves.
Right. And they're not going to be there for you in your time of need.
Right. See, and the reason why they're thieves – well, isn't that a strong word? No, no, no. They know that the tithe is not for today. They know that. But what do?
And they lie.
So that's Stephen. See, that's Stephen. Now, am I saying don't support your local church? Yes, do support your local church. Now, here's the thing, Sister AJ. This is my reasoning. Let's just say that a person decides to give the church a tithe. Let's just say that the person on their own says, I want to bless the work of the Lord with 10% of my paycheck because prior to God opening my eyes, I was doing it, and I still want to do it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's me, right? I do that. But it's not because someone conned me to giving a tithe or whatever, right? I mean, I do it because I grew up in the Pentecostal church, and that was what I was taught to do. And I want to see the church stay open. I want to see the church have a youth ministry. I want to be able to fund the activities of the church. So I decided to contribute, not because somebody forced me or not because I'm under the law, but I decided that 10% for me is okay. Now, that's just
mm-hmm.
me. I'm not saying that's a rule for everybody. That's just for me. Could be satisfied with 10%. I say, okay, everybody, you know, the church is only going to bother you for 10%. But they don't bother you for 10% because then they come up with you, they're selling T-shirts, they're selling caps, they're selling books. They have a banquet. Well, why can't we have a potluck dinner? For example, we just had the church anniversary. We just had the church picnic, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the little church that I pastored, there was maybe about 80 people at the church picnic. Everybody brought a dish. Everybody. Right? That was last Sunday. When people were leaving, we were telling them, take food home with you because this can't stay here. Every family who came not only ate, but was able to take food home with them. We're talking about salads. We're talking about macaronis. We're talking about meats. We're talking about pastries. Everybody took a little bit of something home. So everybody freely contributed. Now, today, when they celebrate the church anniversary, you have to buy a $500 ticket for you. Then you got to buy a $500 ticket for your wife. And then for each one
and
of your kids.
And a new outfit.
Right. And then they tell you it's black tie only.
Yep.
Right? So it's robbery. So, you see, they're not satisfied with 10%. They hit you up for every offering imaginable. And then they bring in the prophets, and the prophets said, so this and so that.
Right.
So people
every
are
time
just
you're
tired.
Looking around, you're digging in your pocket.
And what it is it's poor management. Poor management. That's all it is. That's all it is. Poor management. This is how I manage my affairs. My wife and kids say, hey, Dad, let's go to the beach. I say, okay. Let's drive up to the drive-thru. I drive up to the drive-thru. I put my ATM card. I have a printed piece of paper that tells me my balance. I pass it around. I ask them, can we go to the beach? They say no. Okay, then you got the answer. See? Now, sometimes there's a little bit of in there, and I say, well, if we make lunch at home, right, and we bring the drinks with us from home, then we have enough for the gas. So we can do it if you got, okay, Dad, okay, we'll make sandwiches and, you know, but if y'all want to eat out, forget it.
Right.
You see? So you gotta live within your means. And you just gotta be true. And these churches, they keep squeezing and squeezing and squeezing until you drop dead.
Yep.
See, that's what they
then
do.
Then they squeeze your children because you brought them up under that system.
Right. Sure. So yeah, I don't believe at all that Creflo has changed one bit, because if you have to repent, if you have to repent, you have to repent of everything. You have to repent of your little God's doctrine too, which is even worse.
That's worse than the money, even though
right.
the money is bad enough.
Because
right, either because, way, he's preaching lies and error. So
right. You see, one, in one doctrine, he pillages you. In another doctrine, he damns you. See? So the little God doctrine is damnable heresies. He's damning your soul if you're following that. So, you see, it's about repenting, true repentance. The whole kit and caboodle has got to go. Plus refunds. See, refunds.
Yep.
When the IRS keeps your money, they send it with interest. When you fail to pay them and they hit you up with a tax lien, it's with penalties and interest. Everybody wants the interest on the money you took. Because it's not just the tithe. It's the interest on the tithe. Listen, your boss, if you work for a company and they have a 401k, your boss is blessing you more than your pastor. Because you put into the 401k and they match it. Am I lying? Am I lying or am I saying the truth?
No.
Right. So you go to church, you pay, they don't match anything. Because, like I said, when you go to get meat, there's not even a little packet powdered Lipton soup to give you.
No beef, no bullion, no nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing. Who are you? Oh, wait a minute. We'll check the records and call you by Friday. We want to know if you're a tithe giver. Wait a minute. You don't know that by now? You don't know that by now? And you got to check the records and you'll get back to me on Friday, and today's Monday? You don't know that by now? And then when we call Friday, there's nobody in the office. That's why you told us to call on Friday, because they only work from Monday to Thursday.
Right.
Listen, it's a racket, and it's a legal racket. It's legal. It's legal. And even when they came after Creflo and they came after Kevin Copeland and they came after Paula and Randy, they thumbed their nose and said, we ain't listening to y'all.
Well, yeah, Ted Creflo and Kenneth for sure didn't even turn over whatever information. They told Senator Grassley to kick rocks.
That's right. It's none of your business. Like when that reporter Kenneth Copeland, how many planes do you have? He stuck his finger in her face and said, that's none of your business.
That demon came out and his head spin around and he told her, none of your business. I'm surprised he didn't cuss her out.
Absolutely. No, these people are wicked. They are wicked, wicked, wicked. So, no, they're playing this little game now. See, they're playing the little game. And it might be, you know, he might get a call from Kenneth or he might get a call from Jesse. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? What are you doing? But, yeah, that's how they roll. That's how they operate. And all right, so we're talking about Creflo today.
Yeah. First, what I wanted to do is just a little shot of the old Creflo. And this first audio is a news clip that talks about the time that he asked for the $65 million jet. So that's
okay.
What audio one is.
All right, here it is. Audio one.
The finances of a church led by a popular televangelist are under close scrutiny this morning. It comes as Pastor Creflo Dollar asked his followers to buy him a $65 million private jet. Mark Strassman is outside the World Changers Church and International in College Park, Georgia. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. This church behind me is like any house of worship. It is nonprofit and tax exempt, but it is also highly controversial, most recently when the pastor asked the faithful to help him travel the world in style.
Three for the best house, three for the best car.
He's a pastor named Dollar who preaches the prosperity gospel. The more you give, the more you shall receive.
Just because the world don't have it don't mean you can't have it.
Creflo Dollar's sermons pack his 8,500-seat megachurch. His ministry has prospered with satellite churches in at least a dozen states and hundreds of thousands of online followers.
I am the resurrection.
Dollar owns this multi-million-dollar mansion and condo. In March, his website asked the faithful to help him buy something else.
To give contributions of $300 US or more.
A $65 million Gulfstream G650 jet, the top of the line in luxury air travel. One church member, Mary Jones, plans on answering the pastor's call, even though she rides the bus 20 miles every Sunday to Dollar's church.
We support our pastor. That's what we're here for. The work that he's doing, where the Lord has him traveling, he doesn't need a cheap airplane. He needs the best.
But Dollar later took down the video after the jet request was criticized. Former member Shamora Barnard was disgusted.
What's Pastor Dollar's prosperity gospel really all about?
What is it all about? It's about feeding him. It's about him eating. I'm going to tell you whatever I need to tell you to get you to put money in my pocket.
This isn't the first time Dollar's church has been under scrutiny. In 2007, the U.S. Senate Finance Committee investigated Dollar and five other televangelists for possible tax abuse. Investigators labeled Dollar as the least cooperative. But in 2011, the Senate abandoned its investigation, critics claimed, under pressure from church groups. We wanted to talk to Pastor Dollar. He declined our request for an interview. But a representative for the church sent us a statement which read in part, quote, all of the ministry's revenues go to charity and or ministry, with the exception of the salaries and benefits for some 400 employees ministry-wide. Dollar also responded to his critics during a sermon.
If I want to believe God for a $65 million plane, you cannot stop me. You cannot stop me from dreaming.
In Creflo's church, there is no accountability to anyone. He runs it as a fiefdom.
Oliente is president of the Trinity Foundation in Texas, a church fundraising watchdog group.
Chairman of the board of Texas Instruments or AT&T, they can have a fleet of jets, but they're not begging for money from people and get a tax write-off in order for them to establish such a lifestyle.
A church spokesman says the annual budget here is around $80 million. Despite lowering the online fundraising site, the pastor reportedly plans to keep trying to raise donations to buy a new plane. Gail?
All right, Mark, we got it. You know,
He changed his tune real quick.
Yeah. Well, he got that $65 million jet, though, and most of the money probably came from ones like that lady. That was the most heartbreaking to me, the see a lady catching the bus. But she's going to contribute to him getting a jet.
Well, again, you know, these are the people that sadly keep these people in power. Right?
Yeah. Women, in particular, just like what you said in Revelation 12, I mean, it's an old trick bag. Go after the women.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just sad. It's really, really sad. But there's nothing you can do. You know, I mean, I could talk to that lady and tell her, don't do it. He's a crook. Oh, no, that's my pastor. He deserves the best. He's going to go do work for Jesus. He ain't doing no work for Jesus. He's chilling. The dude is killing.
And you couldn't get a ride on that plane if your life depended on it.
Right. Absolutely. So, no, this is a joke. But, you know, Creflo will survive until death catches up with him. Because death caught up with Reverend Ike. Death will catches up with everybody.
Yes, it does.
Right? So, it is what it is. It is what it is. But, you know, the guy, look, AJ, in these churches where you have the offering plate going around, and there's cash in there, that cash ain't going to no bank deposit.
It's going in somebody's pocket.
They found in a wall at Joel Osteen's church $600,000.
Yep.
In a wall.
I heard about that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Paula White, whenever they would encourage people to give their jewelry. Paula White would have that jewelry brought to her office, and she would rummage and take the stuff that she liked. The other stuff went to the pawn shop. Like they said in the hood, the pawn shop. We're going down to the pawn shop. And what do you think they were doing at the... You think Randy or Paula were reporting that? No.
No.
Not reporting that. That never made it into the church accounts. Uh-uh. No. No way. So, again, you know, they're skimming. They're skimming good. But in the end, you know, thieves and covetous people will be cast into the lake of fire.
Yes.
Especially when you're using the name of Jesus. And you're saying the Holy Spirit told me to tell you to sow $1,000. Oh, my goodness. Is there a place reserved for them in the lake of fire?
Absolutely.
So
it's
sad.
The next odd audio is another Creflo-ism, but this one is one where he's talking about what he would like to do with non-tithers. This is a two-minute video, and then after this, we'll start listening to this sermon that caused all the controversy. But audio two is the non-tithers clip.
Okay, let's see what he's got to say to people like us.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, but in Creflo's church, they require that you, before you can become a member,
your W-2.
You got to submit your W-2. And
so
then you got to sign.
See how much you make.
Right. And then you got to sign a release at the bank where Creflo goes right into your bank account.
Yeah, a lot of churches are doing that. And what I always wondered, I doubt it, is that before they take the money every month, do they check to see whether the person's okay financially before they take it, or do they just snatch it? But I already know the answer to that, but I just wonder
sometimes. Sure. No, if you are to give, the Bible says, bring the tithe. You're to bring it, not someone snatch it from you.
Right.
You're to bring it as the worshiper. Okay, here's clip two.
Now, you know, we're under the blood of Jesus, so we can't shoot and stone people like we used to. All we have to do is repent, and God will forgive us and take us where we need to be. But I tell you, man, if it wasn't for the blood, there'd be a whole lot of us being stoned and being in hell right now, but over the tithe. But for the blood of Jesus, we'd be doomed. I mean, I thought about when we first built the dome, I wanted to put some of those little moving bars and give everybody a little card. They stick it in a little computer slot. And if they were tithing, beautiful music would go off. And, you know, welcome, welcome, welcome to the world dome. But if they were non-tithers, the bar would lock up. The red and blue lights would start going, the siren would go off, and a voice would go throughout the entire dome, crook, 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 crook. Security would go and apprehend them, and once we got them all together, we'd line them up in the front and pass out Uzis by the ushers. We'd point our Uzis right at all those non-tithing members because we want God to come to church, and at the count of three Jesuses, we'd shoot them all dead, and then we'd take them out the side door there, have a big hole, bury them, and go ahead and have church and have the anointing. Aren't you glad we're under the blood of Jesus? Because if we were not under the blood of Jesus, I would certainly try it. If you,
first of all, how did you get the faith dome? How did you get
people giving their money?
Right. How did you get the sirens that go off? Right, exactly. He didn't pay for it. The people he wants to shoot paid for it. That's who paid for it. Not him. All right, here's a little bit more.
You take time to tithe the tithe correctly, it's impossible to go to hell. Because you're doing all of that, man, tithing will keep you in heaven. It'll keep you in the presence of God. We know the tithe, according to this, we're believing right now that the tithe is the covenant. I'm telling you that your tithe is your covenant connector. I'm telling you that all the promises that God ever gave you, you cannot get them without being connected to them with the tithe. I'm telling you the only way you're going to get hooked up to healing is through the tithe. I'm telling you the only way you're going to get hooked up to prosperity, deliverance, or any promise in the Word of God is through the tithe.
Sure. In your world. Now, can you imagine if Creflo had the ushers with the Uzi and he had killed all those people and now he repents? Oh, my goodness. Look how many people I put in the ground. Now you had an epiphany. Now you had a moment of brilliance and now. So what do you do for all those people that you shot up with Uzis?
I give some to their families? I don't know.
It's crazy.
How could he make that up? Yeah, it is. And keep that little clip in mind as we listen to this so-called repentance sermon, because he's going to refer to the heavy-handedness and the fear and intimidation, but just look at how he does it in this sermon,
okay.
And he calls it the great misunderstanding. And it's the beginning of a series that he's doing on this, and he's been doing them for the last few weeks or so. So that's what audio three is. We're going to review this sermon, and I already can see what you think, but let's just listen to it anyway and comment on it.
All right. Sounds good. Now we're going to start it from the beginning?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Here it is.
We thank you for this another opportunity to minister to these, your precious sheep. Thank you, Lord, that revelation and knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. And Father, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind. None of me and all of you.
Now, when he says that, speak through my vocal cords, it reminds me of how Satan used the serpent.
Yeah. Yeah. And think through his mind, which kind of sounded weird to me. You know, we're supposed to have our mind, let the mind of Christ be in us, but he doesn't speak through our mind.
Correct. So, yeah, I found that bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to start off by saying to you that I'm still growing, and that the teachings that I've shared in times past on the subject of tithing were not correct. And today I stand in humility to correct some things that I've taught for years and believed for years, but could never understand it clearly because I had not yet been confronted with the gospel of grace.
So how do we know now that you understand it? Because you told us back then that you understood it.
Right. I mean, but how could he not be the confronted with the gospel of grace when that's central to what we believe, that not just about money and material stuff, but just the grace of God toward us, all of us who have sinned and fallen short? You know, isn't that one of the five solas?
Sure. But again, because he's not reformed or a believer and a lying serpent, you know.
But I mean, all he has to do is read the scriptures, the Gospel of John, Romans. In several places, it talks about the grace of God. So what does he mean?
Listen, this guy
is... Did he even be preaching?
Listen. He knows the jig is up. And he's
trying...
See, what he's trying to do is he's trying to beat everybody before everybody else comes out and says, because, you know, at some point in time, now we do know that there's some hardliners. We do know that there are some people like Robert Morris who is going to say on his deathbed, tithing is for today. He's not changing his song and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And T.D. Jakes can't, because T.D. Jakes was in a lawsuit with the author of the tithing book, right? Sunday morning stick-up.
Yeah.
So he's got to stick to his story because in court, in his deposition, he already took a position.
Right.
Right? So some people put themselves in a corner where they have taken a position and there's no way they can change their minds or say that they changed their minds. Creflo never did that. So now he's trying to preserve World Changers Church for his kids. That's it. Because, look, if Creflo stopped preaching today, Creflo was fine. He's fine.
Yeah.
That's it. Listen, nobody wants to hear what he's got. Even this stupid sermon. Who wants to hear this? This is nonsense. I mean, we're hearing it because we have to break it down. But when a guy says, I was wrong, and I didn't understand it. What? You think we're going to... No, you were wrong because you didn't understand it. What? Because you didn't understand
right.
The gospel of grace. What? What?
Yeah.
See? But that's,
Wasn't that the point of the Reformation in the first place, or one of them?
Yeah, but again, they're survivalists.
Yeah.
They will say whatever they have to do in order to survive. They don't have convictions. To them, it's about survival, empire survival. That's what it is. All right, here's more.
I want to start off by saying to you that I'm still growing.
Right there. Okay. If you're still growing, get off the pulpit and let the little yellow bus come pick you up and take you to your nursery school.
This should be his resignation sermon.
Right. We don't want to hear that you're growing. You've been doing this for 30-plus years. You're still growing? Growing in what? Growing in what?
Right.
Unacceptable. Sorry.
And the gospel of grace is supposed to be basic.
Sure. Absolutely.
Especially for a pastor that's teaching and preaching and supposedly equipping people.
Right. Because the gospel of grace is free. See, free is the key word to the gospel of grace. Everything is free. But these guys made it about money. See? So think about it. They charged you. They were charging you for 30 years for stuff that was free. That's criminal.
Right.
And now you had an awakening? Now all of a sudden, you realize that you're in kindergarten? Mm-mm.
Right.
No.
And that the teachings that I've shared in times past on the subject of tithing were not correct. And today I stand in humility to correct some things that I've taught for years and believe.
No. No. Now it's time to cut checks. Now it's time for refunds. See? Refunds. It's refund time.
Mm-hmm.
It's refund time. That's what this is. No. There's no way. You can say, we applaud you, Pastor. We applaud. Wait a minute. You stuck me. It's like the kid who, when you went to school and he punched you in the face every day you were in the fifth grade to take your 5 cents away from your pretzel money, and then the kid in the schoolyard all of a sudden said, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was a bully. Will you? No. Where's my nickel? Where are my nickels?
And why should we trust him to teach us the right way if he's been lying all these years? And I wonder if it ever occurred to anybody in the audience that this man robbed us and lied to us all this time.
Right. Right. It's horrible. You know how many CDs this guy sold or audio tapes on tithing? You know how, he must have had ministry products on the garbage.
Oh, absolutely.
So you need to refund people the tithe. You need to refund them for the ministry products that they bought. It's amazing. Mea culpa, mea culpa. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was growing. Growing. If you mow somebody down with your car and the police come, you say, I'm still growing. I'm growing. What?
I still haven't got the hang of this driving thing yet.
Oh, my goodness. Pitiful. Pitiful. Pitiful.
For years. But could never understand it clearly because I had not yet been confronted with the gospel of grace, which has made the difference. I won't apologize because if it wasn't for me going down that route, I would have never ended up where I am right now. But I will.
I don't care about an apology. I want a refund. Keep the apology. Give me my money back.
I won't my money, but I don't know
That's
if we could afford to financially. But no apology. That doesn't sound like repentance or anyone that's sorrowful or guilty, feeling guilty about anything that they've done.
Right. Right. Amazing. Amazing.
Will say that I have no shame at all at saying to you, throw away every book, every tape, and every video I ever did on the subject of tithing, unless it lines up with this. I've done some corrective teaching in the last 10 years, but not to the degree of what we're getting ready to do now.
Throw away every book, every tape, every CD, every video? No, I'm bringing them to you so you can give me my money back.
Right. Just take them and have a big pile of them up on the stage there and set them on fire like he wanted to do with the non-tithers. Just light them all up. Well, we finna bring
right.
all your junk back and we want
sure.
our money. It should be a riot
right.
in there.
or round him up and make a big hole in the back for him and his big head, and let the ushers shoot him and bury him
right.
for being a tithe stealer.
Right.
Do to him like they did to Achan, where everybody stoned him.
Right.
Right? For taking
right.
what was not his.
That's right.
Take this dude out trying to get off easy. I won't apologize. I have no shame. We know you're shameless. We know you're shameless.
Right.
Shame? We knew you had no shame. Now, one thing you have money. You have assets. You have property.
Right.
Start selling that and give me my money back.
So in one way, he was telling the truth. If it wasn't for all of that, he wouldn't be where he is right now with his filthy rich.
Right. Sure. Sure.
So why is this important? Because religion is sustained by two factors, fear and guilt.
Did you hear the background? No.
Yeah. Like they just
what are you
heard
eating
something profound.
Right. What are you eating, a juicy cookie that you went, no, this guy robbed you. He robbed you.
Exactly.
That's what you could, please.
But he soft-pedals his part in that fear and guilt-mongering. You know, he'll say they and them and the church. He'll say use those kinds of terms that minimizes what he did, even though we just heard the clip where he talked about non-tithers and what he'd like to do to them.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
And if it's one subject that the church has used for a long time to keep people in fear and guilt, it is in that subject of tithing. And it
no, to keep people in poverty. See, this is how it works. I'm gonna tell the people out there how it works. You see, the only one getting filthy rich off the tithe is the person sitting on top of the pyramid, which is him. So in turn, he turns to you in the church service and he says, you see everything I got? You see that car out there that I have? You see this Rolex? You see this $5,000 suit? You see everything I have? You see that mansion I got? All of that because I tithe. So now the poor people say, Let me get the mansion, let me get the Rolex, let me get what he's got by tithing. But you don't realize that you're getting poorer and he's getting richer.
Right.
Right? That's how the scam works. No, he's getting rich because he gets to play with everybody's tithe money.
Right. The only way you could have a chance of getting what the pastor has is if you start your own pyramid scheme.
Right. Absolutely. And that's what they do in the mafia. And the mafia, see, Gotti rubs out the guy on top, John Gotti.
Big Paul.
Big Paul Castellano.
Killed him.
Rubbed him out, right? So why? So he can sit on the pyramid.
Yeah.
See, that's how it works. And mind you, Gotti was close to the top. I mean, Gotti was already making big money. Gotti was already making big money.
He wanted it all.
But he wanted to be the guy on top of the pyramid.
Yep.
And that's it. And by brute force. So yeah, Creflo now is all he's got the same eyes that Benji looks at me when I come down in the morning and he's made a mess in the kitchen and I just want to put one on his backside and he just looks at me with those little puppy eyes and please don't do nothing to me, right?
Yeah.
That's how he's looking at now. He's real humble this morning.
And even that is not convincing, but he's trying with the puppy dog eye.
He's trying. Here's more.
It has to be corrected, and it's got to be corrected now. I may lose some friends. Preachers may not ever invite me no more, but I think I've already been through that, so it doesn't matter. Go with me in our text.
Listen, he doesn't care if he doesn't get another invite. Why? Because those preachers don't line his pockets. The people in the crowd do. See? So you notice how he says, I may lose some friends. Yeah, but the goal is not to lose members. That's the goal.
Right. To keep them giving as much money as possible, right? That's the main goal.
That's the main goal. The friends.
All that stuff is just a side hustle.
Right. The friends. Kenneth Copeland's got more money. Creflo doesn't need Kevin's money, Kenneth Copeland's money. I'm telling you, Creflo Dollar's sitting on a mountain of cash.
Yep.
He's sitting on a mountain of cash. So he don't need no invites. He's hooking it up for his kids. That's what this is about. longevity, the long haul,
yep.
survival. How do we survive inflation? How do we survive COVID? How do we listen, these scam artists are looking for all kinds of ways, all kinds.
Yep.
The man of God, the woman of God survives by prayer. We pray to God, he meets our needs. That's how, by scams, not by repenting.
Not by these guys. They don't live by faith.
No.
Text today in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. And we're going to begin this, probably 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. As we really dig into it now, you don't know it. The last 2 weeks, I've been setting you up for this one. You knew it, right? And some of y'all already know what I'm getting ready to say. You knew it because the gospel of grace has brought you to that place of understanding as well. But it's just that elephant in the room or the elephant in the body of Christ that needs to be dealt with. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Read. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but you're under grace. That's not just a cute little verse of scripture. That's literally, you are not living and you are not conducting your life under the Mosaic law, which tithing is a part of the law. You are not living. You are not conducting yourself under the law. Ever since Jesus rose again from the dead, you have been completely set free from living under that dispensation. You are under grace. Say out loud, I live under grace. Now look at this in the NLT. You not only live under grace, you live according to grace. You live according to what Jesus has done. You live according to that new and living way. He says, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Living under the requirements of the law made sin your master. Living under the requirements of the law made sin your master. He said sin is no longer your master. Why? Because you no longer live under the requirements of the law. So if you continue to try to live under the requirements and the dictates of the law, sin will continue to be your master. He says, instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. And that's what we are. And that is the basis of this teaching right here. That scripture that says we are no longer under the law, but we live under the freedom of God's grace. So let's just really jump right into this. Tithing is an Old Testament concept. I'm going to prove that to you. Tithing is an Old Testament concept. The tithe was a requirement of the law, in which the Israelites were to give 10% of the crops they grew and the livestock they raised. They were supposed to give 10% of that to the temple or to the tabernacle. Now, there are several scriptures I just want to go over real quick. Leviticus 27 and 30, you can write these down. I'll read them to you. But Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, it belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 26, and I read all these in the NLT. Numbers 18, 26 says, give these instructions to the Levites when you receive from the people of Israel the tithe I have assigned as your allotment. Give a tenth of the tithe you receive, a tithe of the tithe to the Lord as a sacred offering. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 24 and 25, Deuteronomy 14, 24 and 25, now when the Lord your God blesses you with a good harvest, the place of worship he chooses for his name to be honored might be too far for you to bring the tithe. If so, you may sell the tithe portion of your crops and herds and put the money in a pouch and go to the place the Lord your God has chosen you. So he says, if that temple is too far away from you, go ahead and sell the harvest, okay, and put the money in a pouch, and then, you know, you can go take it there. And then 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 5. He says in verse 5, he says, when the people of Israel heard these requirements, they responded generously by bringing the first share of their grain, the new wine, their olive oil, honey, and all the produce of their fields. They brought a large quantity, a tithe of all they produce. So in fact, the Old Testament law required multiple tithes. That's interesting. Multiple tithes. One for the Levites, one for the use of the temple and the feast, one for the poor of the land, which would have pushed the total to around 23.3%. Some understand the Old Testament tithe as a method of taxation to provide for the needs of the priests and the Levites in sacrificial systems. In some places, it's very clear in the Old Testament that they gave around 12 to 14 different tithes over seven-year periods. But then after the death of Jesus Christ, Matthew 5:17, this is important. After the death of Jesus Christ, I want to reiterate again, tithing is an Old Testament concept. But after the death of Jesus Christ, Jesus fulfilled the law. Look at that in Matthew 5:17. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law. So Jesus didn't come to destroy the law and anything that was under the law, which included tithing. He said, or the prophets. He says, I'm not come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see Jesus fulfilling all of the law and at the same time talking about this new way that is to come. So after the death of Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, the New Testament, nowhere, after the death of Jesus, there's nowhere commands or any commandments or even recommends that Christians submit to a legalistic tithe system. The New Testament nowhere designates a percentage of income a person should set aside, but only says gifts should be in keeping with the income. Talks about giving of gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 in the NLT. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. Now, I know all, you know, first thing somebody's going to say is, well, Abraham tithed. You have to get the teaching we just did. Abraham met Melchizedek, who was unannounced, and Melchizedek came and blessed him, and Melchizedek won the battle for him. And then when Abraham found all that out, he gave a tithe.
Moron. Super moron. Yeah, I'm trying not to interrupt so we can get, you know. But what he just said now, super moron. Melchizedek did not win any battles for Abraham. Didn't win anything.
Didn't even
crack a sweat, did Melchizedek. No.
Well, I wanted to ask about Romans 6. He's saying the law when he read 6 and 14, but the law of Moses isn't all that Paul is talking about here, is it? It's the law of sin, and because he had finished talking about how it came in through Adam and all this stuff, so he's more talking about that and how we're slaves to it without Christ than the law of Moses and tithing and that stuff, isn't it? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong on that.
You're correct, but, I mean, I can't stop this person every 2 seconds. I mean,
yeah,
it's obvious, right? It's obvious that he is now in a so-called repentive mode. He's just lying like a serpent. That's what he's doing.
Right. He's still taking the scriptures out of context and twisting them for his own purposes.
Right. And when he talks about Abraham with Jacob, and that was before the Mosaic Law. When we say Mosaic Law, it's tied to Moses. So these guys are, you know, years before Moses, generations before Moses. So, of course, Abraham didn't tithe on the Mosaic Law because Moses wasn't born yet. Didn't live yet.
Right.
I mean, that's nursery stuff. The kids in the nursery sucking on a bottle know that much.
Right?
I mean, please. All right.
He didn't give the tithe to get blessed. He was blessed before he gave the tithe. He didn't give the tithe to get the victory of the battle. He had already got the victory of the battle. And the Bible says, Mel, kept...
Wait a minute. That was so good. Let me do a... That was so good.
Fresh manna from heaven.
Yes.
The next showed up with bread and wine, which points to the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. That was a shadow of the grace of God showing up. And so he gave the tithe as an expression of his dependence upon God, because Melchizedek said, here is the possessor of heaven and earth. And Abraham said, what do I need with anybody else or anything on this planet if I'll hook up with him? And when he gave his tithe, it was an expression of his dependence.
So he's back to teaching the same thing.
Yeah, basically.
That's what he's teaching, because if he's tithing, it's because he's dependent. Well, that's what he was teaching before. You tithe because, you know, you're dependent on God, whether God will bless you or curse you. That's what he
mm-hmm.
was teaching before. He's back at where he started in the cul-de-sac.
Exactly.
I mean, he took one trip around the block, and he's right where he started at. Wow, this guy.
This is just like, you know, Aunt Jemima, you know.
Sure.
Over the years, they've changed their brand completely now, and there's no Aunt Jemima. There's no picture of the lady on the box, but no matter what the package looks like, it's still the same pancake mix.
It's still the same thing. Different name, still same product.
Yep.
All right, here's Creflo.
On God. The Lord woke me up at 5:30 this morning, and he said this to me. He said, get up and write it down before you lose it. He said that your giving is a response to my ability to take care of you.
Wait a minute. Why didn't he wake you up at 5:30 in the morning 30 years ago? Why didn't he tell you, hey, moron, stop teaching.
And what they used to do with this back then was to teach it to say tithing is a perpetual principle that you have to do. And it was established. They go back to Cain and Abel, and they go through these scriptures here to say that even though tithing was in the law of Moses, it predates that, so it's a forever thing, is how they used to use this back then. Now he seems to be working toward something else with it.
Yeah, crazy.
He said, when you give, it is your declaration of dependence on me. Can I read that again? Your giving is...
No, don't read it, because it's not Bible.
Right.
It's not Bible. I don't want you to read it.
With this situation with Melchizedek, it doesn't say that at all.
Right. Absolutely. So, no, we don't want you to read what God gave you at 5:30. Mm-mm.
That's a revelation.
Keep that to keep it to yourself. Because 30 years ago, you told us God told you then. And now you as you grow up, now you figured out, wait a minute, it ain't right. How do we know this ain't right?
So God was telling him then, now he's telling something different. So Is it something with God or you? It confuses people. But it seems
sure.
like people in the audience are right there with him, so they get it, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, that's good, Pastor. That's good. That's good. That's good. Meanwhile, the guy is given $75,000 in the last 2 years in tithes, but you ain't getting no refund. You ain't getting no refund.
Nope.
Wow.
It's a response to God's ability to take care of you. I give because I now know that God can take care of me. That's why Abraham gave. He gave a tenth of everything because he says, oh, that's the possessor of heaven and earth. I don't have to worry about nothing. So I'm going to give, and I'm going to, in my giving, make a declaration that he is able to take care of me. You remember what Abraham said to the king of Sodom? I've lifted my hands up before God. I won't take nothing down to a thread or a shoe latchet. So you won't ever be able to say you made Abram rich, but I have declared my dependence upon God. His tithe, his giving was a response to God's ability to take care of him.
So that's what you were teaching for years. Ain't nothing different.
Yep.
That's the same.
Nope.
That's what I heard him say that years ago. Nothing's changed.
Uh-huh.
So
not one thing.
That's the hook. I mean, that's how we got people to tithe, by getting them to believe that they were dependent on God and God was going to bless them if they gave the 10%. See? Now he's kind of softened it, but it's the same thing. It's the same lie.
Yep.
And Abraham didn't give the tithe as a declaration, as a testimony. No, he gave it as an act of worship, which is completely different. Worship.
And it wasn't, and he
God.
Wasn't required to do it.
Right.
He did it on his own.
Right. It was an act of worship, because all giving is to be an act of worship, not the way they made it. See, the way Creflo is presenting it here is, oh, man, you got to be stupid if you don't tithe, because then you won't get what God has for you. So basically, you are tithing
thing.
Out of self-interest rather
yep.
than tithing as an act of worship. See? So he's still back in the
mm-hmm.
cul-de-sac. He's still at the same place he started.
Right.
Chick-fil-A don't open on Sunday because it is a response that God is able to take care of them.
No, Chick-fil-A doesn't open on Sundays because Sunday is the day of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Worship. You see how he's got it wrong? Worship.
Yeah.
That's what Sunday is. So, what? God sends me a paycheck on Sundays? Is that when I get my paycheck from God? No. Sunday is when I worship, when he gets from me and the corporate body the worship that is due to his name. Because here's the other thing, Sister AJ. The money is not the worship itself. In other words, the money I put in an envelope is not the sacrifice. Remember what Paul says, let us bring the sacrifice of praise. That's the real sacrifice. And so the widow,
mm-hmm.
the widow who gave more than the tithers. Why? Because she was worshiping. They weren't worshiping. They weren't.
Right.
They were following Creflo's model. She's worshiping.
Right.
See, that's the difference. You know, people in church, I sing every Sunday. I'm part of the worship team. Yeah, but you don't worship. You're performing. You're trying to make a name for yourself. You're trying to show off. And you're in the worship team, but you don't worship. That's crazy, but it's true. It goes on every Sunday. I know people who are on the worship team who never worship. They are performing. It's the same thing with tithing. Tithing became a performance and not an act of worship. See, you were good with the pastor as long as you performed tithe giving. But wait a minute. Tithing is supposed to be about me worshiping God. The act is supposed to be about me. It's like when Abel brought his sacrifice and Cain brought his sacrifice. It was about worship. Worship. Abel made it about performance. Cain made it about performance. Abel made it about worship. And that's why Romans 12 says, offer your body a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable worship. With these people, it's all performance. They want to show off in front of people rather than connecting with God, and they miss out. So he's clueless.
Look at 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. Watch this. On the first day of each week, you should, so this is the only place where he's talking about putting something aside. Watch this. The first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there, Paul said, and then try to collect it all at once. So notice what he said. He says, put aside a portion of your money. He didn't say what percentage. He just said, put aside a portion of your money. So some in the Christian church have taken 10%, a 10% figure from the Old Testament tithe and applied it as the recommended minimum for Christians in their giving. He didn't say that. He didn't say that.
Yeah, and this offering that was given was for missions, not to support Templo.
Right. Well, notice he always says they and them and the church, but he never says I used to teach this.
Right, right. Okay, here's more.
He says, I want you to take a portion and put it aside. Now, if you want to give 10%, that's fine. But, you know, he didn't say that. I want to get to a particular place where you understand that he is not requiring New Testament believers to operate in the Old Testament system of tithing, which included a blessing and a curse. If you're under grace, Jesus took the curse away, and you are already blessed. All right, now watch this. The New Testament talks about the importance and the benefits of giving. That's what it talks about. We are to give as we are able. And sometimes that means giving more than 10%. Sometimes that means giving less. It all depends on the ability of the Christian and the needs of the body of Christ. So every Christian should diligently pray and seek God's wisdom in the matters of participating on how much you should give. That's the whole point. We're Christians now, under the grace of God. We have a relationship with God. We need to be talking to God about giving us wisdom in our giving. Somebody says that ain't the Bible. Look at James chapter 1 and 5. James chapter 1 and 5. There's no fun in you just bucket plunking. He wants you to spend some time with it. Lord, what you want me to do? James 1 and 5, if any of you lack wisdom, wisdom is knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. How many of you have been in a situation when you don't know what to do? He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men, how? Liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. So wisdom is available. Now, above all giving should be given with pure motives. It should be given with an attitude of worship to God, and it should be given as a service to the body of Christ. So according to 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, look what he says here. He says, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give. New Testament, you must decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or don't give in response to pressure. Well, the tithing teaching always pressured me. It gave me fear. Malachi 3:10 says, what's that? You are cursed with a curse. I remember one time my tithe was like, I don't know what it was, $100 and some dollars and 26 cents, and I didn't have the 26 cents. And somebody put a brick through my window, my car window of a new car I had. And Taffy and I just got married, and as soon as I did that, the condemnation of tithing and not tithing came up, and I'm like, you know, the devil just spoke to me and said, see, Dale, if you tithe, then this wouldn't happen. The only reason it happened, it was fear-based.
See, now, he's got a devil talking to him. Lie. First of all, if the devil ever talks to you, you know he's a liar. So
right.
Why are you listening to the devil? I mean, you see how this guy is untethered. No word. God is talking to him, but it ain't God. The devil's talking to him, but why would you be listening to the devil anything? Why would you make anything the devil says authoritative? Only a stupid person would listen to the devil and put stock in what the devil says.
Right,
but
he's trying to say because of the way the church taught tithing, it put you under condemnation, which it did. It did what Jesus said of the Pharisees. It put heavy burdens on people. But,
right. But here's the thing, Sister AJ. Those people have been going there all their lives.
Yes.
So if the
mm-hmm.
church put pressure on them, the church was Craflow. He's the only pastor
exactly.
they know.
Exactly.
He's the only pastor they know. These people are cult members. That's the cult
and
they belong to.
And even with this, there's some slight manipulation he's still applying when he tells you to pray and ask God, pray and ask God what to give to him. And so God never seems to tell the people, don't give your money to this crook at all. The number is never zero. Let Creflow tell it. So there's still like this coercion to say, well, God, let God tell you what to give me.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. No, this is pathetic. And he's got a little smirk on his face, like when he hears the claps, he says, oh, I got them in my pocket. Oh, I got the meat out of my hand.
Yes, he's got that same smirk that Dallas Jenkins always had when he's up there lying. They read from the same book, apparently.
Yes, and speaking of Dallas Jenkins, I saw a little clip the other day. There's this bogus award called the Calebs, where it's
yeah.
some kind of, it's like some kind of Hollywood, you know, it's a make-believe Hollywood thing that Christians put together.
Yeah.
And the award, instead of an Oscar, is called the Caleb. I mean, how asinine. how silly. You think I'm going to attend a thing to get a Caleb? They want to give
no.
you a cake. No. I mean, you're stupid. If you that's the name of the award, a Caleb? So he stands up there. He says, I remember when I was a teenager, I would stand in the mirror and I would practice my speech in front of the Hollywood crowd. Because
yes,
I'm saying,
did.
Wow, this guy is such a loser. I mean, wow, to practice in front of a mirror, your speech?
Well, he
you're
meant
stupid.
The Oscars, but he just didn't tell them that.
right. I mean, that's what he wanted. He wanted an Oscar, but, you know, they don't recognize Charlie Brown's. Only the church does.
Right.
Wow.
He says, you're never to give in response to pressure. See, the reason why you ain't getting a job is because you ain't tithing. You should never give. That's pressure. You should never give in response to pressure.
I tell you what, ain't now one of y'all going to get blessed until you start tithing. You should never give responding to pressure. He just told you how to give. You decide going to God, seeking wisdom, decide in your heart what you should give, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And certainly when God puts something in your heart and wisdom comes in your heart, what the actions are going to be cheerful in their giving. And that's the recommendation we get here. Now, I'm not suggesting that we water down our giving. But let's admit, tithing is an Old Testament teaching. The New Testament contains a theme that overrides it. So set aside your emotions, please, just for a moment, and let's see what the New Testament actually says about tithing.
Well, after he got his $65 million jet, now he has an awakening.
Right. That he's got more money than he can spend in 10 lifetimes. Now
right.
God is talking to him.
Right. Right. Wow. Man, why didn't God get to him 30 years before? Why? What happened?
Well,
where
I guess Creflo says he may not come when you want him, but he's on time.
Okay, all right.
Since we're no longer under the law, let's see what the New Testament actually says. I know what you've been told it said. I know what I might have told you 30 years it said, 30 years ago what it said. Let's see what it actually says. All right, let's look at Matthew 23 and Luke 11:42. They say basically the same thing. Jesus' words about tithing are brief. There are only really two comments here from Jesus, but watch this. He said, and this is so interesting here, he said, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have committed the weightier, you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." Now watch this. "These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone." All right, so he's going in here, and Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees for neglecting the law about justice and mercy and faithfulness in their tithing. And again, "For you tithe in these things, but you're neglecting the others." What is he talking about, the others? The other laws. You're keeping this law, but you're neglecting the other laws. So, to be sure, they are tithing. They absolutely were tithing. And Jesus says, you should keep that law of tithing, this, and this. But you shouldn't neglect the other laws about this, and this. All right, now watch this. So they are tithing, but they're tithing with wrong attitudes. No justice, no mercy, no faithfulness. Others is plural in the New American Standard Bible, and it refers to the Old Testament laws, not only to tithing law, but all of the laws in the Old Testament. You know what Jesus was saying? He says, "I want you to be a good Jew. Don't neglect Jewish laws." Because can't be a good Jew if you're a Jewish person neglecting Jewish laws. He says in verse 24, they're so busy, you know, straining through water so they...
No, they're not Jewish laws. They're divine laws.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you say Jewish, you're saying they're cultural. They're not cultural. They're divine. They come from God. Those were laws
right.
God gave to Israel. Right? The same way God has given the church laws. Right? Jesus said, "A new law I give unto you, that you love one another." So they're divine. I don't want any law from man. I want to trace everything that I do in the church. I want to trace it back to the words of God, and to make sure that they're for today. Right? I mean, that's what you need to do. So they're not to be a good Jew. No, to be a good believer, a good worshiper. Not a good Jew, but a worshiper. So what did Jesus say to the Samaritan woman? God is seeking what? Good Jews or good Samaritans? No. God is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and truth. It's about worship.
Right.
Right? I mean, you know, people have taken worship and they think it's a performance. It's not a performance. Worship is a lifestyle. How I honor God with my living. In every facet, that's worship. That's what worship is. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say in Matthew 23, anyway, Jesus was going in on the Pharisees in this passage, really. You know, he was saying they were hypocrites and vipers, and, you know, he must have issued a woe to them about 8 times. So this was a really tough rebuke, and Creflo is actually a modern day version of this.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he's trying to, you know, he's one of the guys who threw stones at you, and now he's saying no. I was telling them not to throw stones at you. No, dude, you led the charge.
Right.
You are the scam artist.
That's right.
Boy, and like you said, he's talking about them and those guys. No, you were in the club.
Right, as Nathan the prophet would say, you are that man.
Right. Sure. Wow. Okay.
They won't swallow a gnat while at the same time they're swallowing a camel. What is he saying? They got wrong priorities. So he's not teaching on tithing here in verse 23. He's teaching on being a good Jewish person living under the law. And to be a good Jewish person living under the law, you can't do this part of the law and neglect the other parts of the law. Does everybody clearly see that? Many would say, well, see, Jesus is teaching on the law. Here's how I was taught. Jesus said you tithe in this, and you ought to. And he stopped right there. See there? You ought to. Ought to what? See, you ought to tithe. See, it's out of context. The context is Jewish people living under the law, tithing according to the law, don't neglect the rest of the law. He's not talking to New Testament Christians. Jesus is operating as a prophet, fulfilling the law, and he is speaking to them as an Old Testament prophet, fulfilling the law, and he is saying to them, you should be tithing according to the law, but you shouldn't be neglecting the rest of the laws.
You see, and what does that have to do with the refund you owe us? I would stand up and I would say, okay, you just said all of that. Okay, what does that have to do with the refund I'm owed for the last 30 years that I've been given? Shouldn't you be cutting out checks for us today, Mr. Creflo? Now, I'm sure that if someone like that stood up and said, Pastor, can I hang around today until you and the Treasury team cut me a check? I'm sure people would get up and stone him for asking for a refund, but not stone Creflo who ripped them off.
Right. I wondered how much money that lady that was riding the bus to church gave Creflo over the years. You mean he couldn't at least buy her a good car?
Right. Sure.
Friday. We are out of time.
Okay.
This is so good. Yeah, sorry I have to stop it every few seconds, but
feel free.
This is just buffoonery on his part. We stopped it at the 22-minute mark, and great, great show. Nice. This is a nice change of topic here. Not that I didn't like beating up on Dallas Jenkins. I truly enjoyed that, even though my wife and my kids were saying, he's going to get a heart attack. That ain't nothing. Wait till I go downstairs now. You're going to hear me get a heart attack now with that mutt in that kitchen having his way. All right, Sister AJ, you have the last word.
Well, just once again, thank everybody for listening. Have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you.